B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich. You like poking them?
We don't talk about things like that in here.
Oh, we do.
Toucher, screw Rich.
I'm getting nervous.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
All right, this is somewhat breaking news. We have Billy Jaffe in studio. We'll get to him in just a minute. But Tom Brady just posted something, his first post since their loss on Saturday night on his Instagram. And a lot of people are reading into it. It says, I just wanted to say to all of our fans, thank you. After a few days of reflection, I am so grateful and humbled by the unconditional support you have shown me the past two decades. Running out of the tunnel every week is a feeling that is hard to explain. I wish every season ended in a win, but that's not the nature of sports or life. Nobody plays to lose, but the reward for working hard is just that, the work. I've been blessed to find a career I love, teammates who go to battle with me, an organization that believes in me, and fans who have been behind us every step of the way. Every one of us that works at Gillette Stadium strive to do their best, spent themselves at a worthy cause, and prepared to fail while daring greatly. Hat tip to Teddy Roosevelt. And for that, we've been rewarded with something that the scoreboard won't show. The satisfaction of knowing we gave everything to each other in the pursuit of a common goal. That is what team is all about. In both life and football, failure is inevitable. You don't always win. You can, however, learn from that failure, pick yourself up with great enthusiasm, and place yourself in the arena again. And he ends it with, and that's right where you will find me, because I know I still have more to prove.
Oh, thank God.
And so,
what a moving.
Giselle said he could play again.
What a moving.
Well,
post.
I mean, the one thing that obviously you can read out of that is that he's going to play again. He's going to be here. He's going to play in the NFL, or
as
he's going to play football next
as
year.
He's stated.
Yeah, he says he hopefully will, but now he sounds like he's definitely going to. But for some reason, people are reading into that as saying that he's staying with the Patriots.
No,
is there anything in that that said now he? Obviously,
pablum,
talked about
garbage.
How great the Patriots were and how fun it was and stuff like that. But there's nothing in that. And
no,
this is literally
generic
something.
Crap. It's just.
It's a thank you.
It's a vomit
crows.
On his screen.
Other than the fact that he says that he's got more and he's coming back, that's different.
It's a boring, nothing, stupid thing.
It's not nothing when it's Tom Brady saying he's returning.
It's intentionally,
that's not nothing.
It is intentionally just enough.
Yeah,
but not enough.
It's
sure.
It's a girl telling you that, you know, being
she really
vague.
Likes you, and eventually you're just
You're under consideration.
Yeah.
And the picture that he posted on there.
Is it really cool?
Yeah, well, it's him, like, running onto the field from the last game and, you know, the smoke going off and stuff.
I'm very glad he put that out
so
there.
So there are tons of people now who are reading into it.
Because that's what.
Well, I'm going to read
it to my
children.
He's returning
to
the Patriots, and I don't see anything in that that says. Gives me any indication that that's where he's going to go.
Well, we don't know if the Patriots want him.
It's
a two-way street.
I mean, as we know, this is something.
Who are the Patriots going to get?
Well, Stidham. I mean, they would either.
That would be the guy.
Yeah.
They could, you know.
Him or Andy Dalton.
Oh, come on.
Andy Dalton's not as ridiculous as we once might have thought of.
As a backup, he's not ridiculous. As a starter, that's utterly ridiculous. Yes. You think that Belichick would pick old guy who's already trying to groom Stidham, trying to make him the guy.
Yes.
But as a backup, I could actually see that happen.
I'm going to, but please forward that to me because I have to read that to my children tonight.
So they make them better people.
The value of hard work.
Fred, you just don't appreciate class.
Nope,
I don't. That's just... garbage.
So there you go. Read into it what you will.
You should.
And
you
people
should read
are.
Into it. You should read into it. Anything above, just look at me, garbage. That's exactly the way he answers interview questions. It was just stupid. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of these posts. There's at least Antonio Brown loses his mind and talks about Heine.
Well, he doesn't post a lot. Like Tom Brady. This is
no, I know, he posts enough. I mean, you know, he but that was a well thought out piece of garbage.
Basically, it's basically a tease, in the sense of I'm just going to make this I'm going to make this very loquacious comments. You know, this prose here, and I love you and thank you, but leaves it. There's a dangle, dot right
am I
there.
Coming back?
Oh, here's what everyone. This is why everyone thinks he's coming to the Patriots.
Yeah,
is because. there's a quote in there that says, to place yourself in the arena again, that everyone thinks that he's mentioning Gillette Stadium by doing that. And that's where you will find
the arena of pro football.
Yes, of course, because you have a brain. That's a term. I want to stay in the arena.
Yes.
You know,
and because he doesn't have a contract yet.
He was drafted in baseball. Maybe he'll go and pull a Jordan.
Yeah.
Play a little
double A, starting double A somewhere.
Yes, his catcher.
I could see him going to double A somewhere.
Him and Tebow just high five.
Well, somebody said just
Escondido, Florida, or California, maybe.
Somebody said just released by Instagram. Quote: sorry, we cut off Tom Brady's post. The last line was lost and read: "Hello XFL, here I come."
That's right. That's what he wants to do.
I think he'll be back. I do too.
Well,
I just think
back here.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do too.
Man, they're not going to give him what he wants.
I
Belichick
just,
is not going to sign him for 2 years.
It doesn't matter. It's not Belichick's decision.
Yeah. It is. Well,
no, it's not.
I think that the Crafts have made this their decision
guy,
to put it that way.
This guy, for this one guy, it's not Belichick's
it's
decision.
It's not Belichick. And he's made
it's
that
whether
clear.
Or not the Crafts are listening to what Bill is telling them.
Will the Crafts piss off Belichick if they end up giving Tom Brady a ton of money for 2 years?
Yes, they'll piss him off.
Yes.
But then I ask, where is Belichick going to go?
I mean, anywhere he wants.
No,
in a year or two.
Not this year. No, okay. A year from now.
So he'll be
him and Jeff Fisher.
Yes.
That's right. Well,
him and the fish get together.
There's got to be a team.
He's going to be 69 years old if he sits out a season. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And 69 is the number the number you don't want. You want a 68 for the pleasure. You, not so much. You concentrate downstairs.
Was that the Yager? On Yager?
You're just getting that?
The Yager.
I want to be 68. I don't want you to focus. You get enough pleasure seeing Puff Nuts.
All right. Well, there you go.
Hey, Billy. What's up?
Oh, yeah, Billy. Come out with dance. We get the foam dance in Ibiza. Hands touching hands. Bodies rocking back and to and fro. All right, Billy. Well, I hope you haven't been overwhelmed by Tom Brady's words.
I
see you're getting a little emotional as a former athlete. I mean, I remember your senior day at Michigan when you came out with those
my prose,
of,
my yeah, my soliloquy.
Yeah, your soliloquy that came out after that about
sucking.
Stepping into the arena. Oh, please. You played at a very good program. What was Michigan like when you played there? Were they good?
A couple of years, we got better. They got great after. The program got better and better. But I would say in the mid-90s, late 90s. Jeez, I feel like I'm that old. That's when they got great. That's when they started winning.
My mom was friends with the coach of Michigan State at the time. She went to college with him at St.
Mason?
Lawrence.
Yeah, yes. Ron. Yeah, he died a couple of years ago suddenly.
I know, and I haven't gotten over it. All right, so Billy Jaffe.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so we're at this point in the season. How do you rate this team, and where are the deficiencies? I was reading Joe Haggerty's ratings of the team, and guess who he had as an F? He had someone graded at an F.
Huh. F?
Yes. So one person graded as an F, and I don't know if he had anyone as a D-. He had an F. It's not a defenseman.
No.
Oh, it's okay. So I was thinking disappointment in McAvoy. You could say that there's
no. But
I'm I don't know. Maybe who do you have? Richie. Whatever. I mean.
All right. So what?
I don't.
Okay. So
Look.
What is Richie supposed to be doing?
What he did last night. No. No question. What he did last night. About 9 minutes, 9.5 physically. Involved using the body to create offense for his team, being the first forechecker or at least sealing off as a number two, getting to the front of the net, having some snarl, making himself available, so to speak, and he did that last night.
All right, so what has been we played the clip of Bruce Cassidy sitting in. He said he talked to the team, and they had obviously an offensive explosion last night. They looked pretty good. What's been going on? Was it 4 out of the last 14 games is all they had won? Is that right?
Four out of 15.
I mean, it's funny because they were doing so well that when they would, you know, they would go to overtime and stuff like that, they just go, and they'd get a point.
Third period.
But when you see it
right.
stacked up like that, that they had only truly won four of the last 15 games.
Well, their record, they don't have a ton of losses. It's just those.
But it's the OTs and the shootouts.
I know. Which are a pain in the ass. So, I mean, is there something. Because last night it was from all four lines.
Yes. Last night they played with the kind of energy, the kind of role, the kind of determination that we hadn't seen enough of lately from the opening faceoff. They still had them. Look, you got it. Look, it's the NHL. It's like any pro sport. These guys are the best of the best. So there's going to be pushback from the opponent. And there was in the second, and the team still handled it just fine. But overall, the way that the team forechecked last night was so smart. Using the back of the net to change the point of attack, meaning going side to side, keeping the puck along the wall, winning puck battles, efforting with puck decision, stuff that they hadn't been doing and regularly, and not relying just on the power play to score goals for you, and making sure that you get your ass to the front of the net, and making sure that you clear the front of the net of your own for your goalkeeper. Things that I go back to the effort and energy word. I will not say that the effort wasn't there. You know, to question somebody's effort when you're not sitting in the room, we've talked about this before, is a very hard thing to do, and I think it can be a real arrogant thing to do as well. But sometimes the energy level, you can see it, and sometimes you got to figure out a way to push through it just a little bit more, and the Bruins were having a hard time doing that. Now, they did it last night. They had a couple days off. They had gotten beat pretty bad at home by Edmonton in the sense of, even though, by the way, I talked to one of the Edmonton coaches, and one of them, who I know well after the game, they called it, we escaped. They felt the Bruins play, and the Bruins did play really well in the third period.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, the Bruins
If you were, just reading online what people were saying during the game, people were saying this is the best they've skated. And
early on in the game, and then the second wasn't great, and then the third, it was. And so maybe that's what translated to this game that we saw last night. But the Bruins have been lacking. I feel like they've been lacking some energy. Yes, they've had some illness. It's brutal. Everybody's going through it right now.
Yeah,
it's part of it, and you have to deal with it. But still, come on. We all know. I mean, when you feel like crap, you feel like crap.
Right. Rich, let's break. But I had poo-pooed something that Rich had suggested a couple weeks ago, but now I think he has a point.
Oh boy!
And I will.
This is a moment.
It is a moment.
It is.
It sounds like it. Potential.
And it's that the Boogeyman was a cool nickname.
Rich has come up with the coolest nickname for the Bruins. But in all seriousness, he had mentioned something that I dismissed, which I now think he was right. So we will get to that in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pastrnak tees it up. He scores! David Pastrnak with a bullet. Over at the far circle, he just blew it right by Pekka, the league-leading 32nd of the year for Pastrnak. 1-0 Bruins.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Yesterday, not only do I have a very aggressive, strong dog, yesterday we had a pimp security system put in with cameras and everything. And now I can look around. I'm obsessed with looking around.
Are there cameras inside your house?
Oh, baby.
Ooh, I can't do that, man. You don't know who's looking in your house.
I turn it around before I masturbate.
I mean, but
veteran mode.
Even like all around the house, there's nothing that weirds you out that anybody can hack into that and watch your family.
That's the first thing I would think of.
Like cameras on my front door, on my doorbell. Cool with that, man.
I gotta protect my family.
I have that too. I have the Ring outside.
Yeah, inside the house, no way.
Do you talk to people on the Ring?
I have not done that yet, no.
Oh, I do it all the time. That's all I do.
John, when somebody rings your doorbell, do you hear it in your hearing aid?
No.
Because I know it's attached to your phone. So like when.
By the way, the Bluetooth is disabled this morning. I learned my lesson after yesterday.
He just goes,
Come in. The second I told him,
the doorbell
they started calling
is a wood
and
fist.
Emails.
It just hits him in the head,
in my ear.
Right. It just bangs against his eardrum. Someone's at the door. I mean, you can hack in. You can watch the excitement that happens in my house of people sitting on the couch.
Talk to one of your voices that you do?
One Halloween I had a lot of fun. I was endorsing some product that doesn't exist anymore. I can't remember the name of it, but you could screw with people because it was like a loud, you could do like a loud voice. You'd be like, get the hell out of here. And the kids would go running. All right. Billy Jeffy, yes. Rich had mentioned something.
Yes, I'm interested. Tell me what
before
said.
About, and then you saw it. There have been games where teams have been taking liberties with the Bruins. You saw that with McAvoy. You've seen it with Krug. You've seen it with Pasternak. Is it necessary, first of all, to have someone that can regulate and protect people on the ice? And second of all, do the Bruins have someone like that?
Because it should be Chara, but you can't.
No, it should be Kevin Miller.
Kevin Miller. I don't know if Kevin Miller is ever going to.
None of us do.
Well, you can't have it be Chara because Chara needs to play.
You can't. That's right. You don't. You want Chara doing intermittently what he did last night when he, you know, took it on the. You know, he did get hit once by the kid Trennan. Like, oh my God, you know, the kid actually cut, but Chara didn't go down. I mean, he got a little buckle, which. He's a guy's just a beast. You don't want your captain who just had jaw surgery, though, getting hit right there.
No, you don't want
him. And he did it earlier against Tom Wilson, and he did it earlier against Patty Maroon, and that's fine. That's the limited amount that I'd like to see him doing it. Last night they had Brett Ritchie, and I'm not saying throwing around, but moving around.
Yeah.
Doing that, that's what you need. That's what you need. You need team toughness.
Because they have guys.
Some. They're not big overall.
Like, no, but Coyle's big.
Coyle can, yes. But you wouldn't say his natural DNA is to go out and roughhouse. It's to control. It's to possess versus to initiate. Yeah. And I'd like them to get a guy who could initiate more. You know, Chris, the fourth line, we call him the fourth line. They actually play almost third line minutes. But even though Nordy didn't play last night, Nordstrom, Corrali, Wagner, the last two games, they've started to manufacture that same feeling of repetitive, I call it tenderization of the opponent. You know, they're getting in. They might not score. Yeah. They did last night, which was awesome. But what they do is the repeated effort of physical contact, of hemming a team in their own zone is tiresome. And that's physical. And that's team toughness right there. They do, Fred. They need somebody or something that gives them more of a physical presence. I don't think they need a beast out there who's just going to fight. We know the days of that are done.
Right.
And I reckon, you know what, this is really a moot point because Kevin Miller hasn't played this year. But that's the guy that would absolutely seek out retribution or initiate it, whether with a hit or with a challenge, if he was in the lineup.
Okay,
and they do
so
miss that.
What is the word? Because, you know, we keep hearing he's coming back.
We don't have any word. There's no word. There's no word.
Okay, based on your knowledge of hockey and the amount of time that he's missed and the, you know, getting close and then falling back.
That was the scariest part of it.
He had to have another procedure. That's all I know.
What's your read on that?
My read on it is that I absolutely love the guy. I miss the guy. I want to see him there. My read is that until I see him even skating again in the red sweater, is that it's not a read, meaning it's not happening.
It's not happening,
You know, but to tell you that I have any
I'm asking.
My read is
your experience.
My read is that he's not close until I even see. I got to see him in a red sweater, and then even Bruce Cassidy will say until he's practicing, he being a player with us regularly.
Okay. All right. So if you want a bigger guy, I wouldn't think that would cost you a lot. To go out and acquire a bigger body.
Well, size might not, but if the guy can't skate,
I understand what you're saying, but what if I wanted to go, because the fourth line hasn't been great. The fourth line, do you think they miss Achari?
I think that there's an element of that that they miss, and I do think the fourth line got away from their identity a bit, and that's why I say the last couple, it's been back again.
Okay, so let's say this. Would it be worth going out, because it probably wouldn't cost you a ton, would it be worth going out and getting a guy that can throw his body around and that is...
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
...is a 2020 enforcer,
I know what you mean. There's a guy, for instance, we've seen with Washington. His name's Garnet Hathaway. Played his college hockey at Brown. Played in Calgary a few years. An absolute disturber out there. But he signed for more money than the Bees can allocate to that spot. But that type of player.
Right.
Yeah, Noel Achari. Yeah. I do think that Nordstrom, Corrali, and Wagner can. I know they can. If they can get that back regularly, Absolutely. Game on with those guys, too. Makes a big difference for this team.
Is the worst thing a Patriot or a Bruins fan can do right now, is the worst thing that they can do, vote for Patrice Bergeron for the All-Star game?
Yes.
Let him sleep.
Totally.
Let him rest. You know what? Brad Marchand, let him rest. And I know he's not up for it. They're fine. They're fine not going. They're fine.
But Bergeron more than anyone.
Yeah.
Because he's one of those guys, and I think the voting is until the 10th, and you just... More than anything, that guy.
I always am encouraging people to vote for anything, right? Use your right. On this one, don't.
Yeah. Do not vote for Bergeron.
And Bergeron, all world, all everything. You've seen him since he came back from his, what was it, 7-game absence? How freaking good this guy still is.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He is. We use the term beast and warrior too much in sports. This guy's a beast.
How can someone that great at the game of hockey be so lackluster in a shootout?
Totally different skill set.
It's not.
But he's like mastered almost every aspect of the game.
You know why? His brain thinks so fast in a game. He's literally. I want to put a camera on him in a game, and we can, but in ISO. But the entire time, and I want you to watch his head movement the entire game. He's thinking two moves ahead because he's looked everywhere. You know, we always talk about.
And why is that bad in a shootout?
But my point is, his reaction in a game, his thought, thinking, his computation in a game is at such a different level. In a shootout, it becomes more of a, I'm stopping, now I'm starting, now I'm thinking, and it's a whole different process.
It's like having a dunk contest to settle in overtime.
It's a football, throw it through the tire. We've talked about this, it's a baseball home run derby, you know,
It's a unique skill set that does not translate to how good a hockey player you are.
And I just do find it fascinating that, I mean, he's just is a master of almost every aspect of the game.
I'm telling you, get Jaromir Jagr, get him, or bring us your Jagr. And tell me, Jagr, why you weren't good in shootouts. And because he was one of the greatest scorers of all times, but Jaromir, in the shootout, you weren't.
I don't know if I can say this.
I heard the setup, and I was like...
Because I always put the puck on the chest.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Because you don't want to score sometimes. I understand.
If 5-1, no.
yes, you know. Yep.
One time in an interview, Jaromir said,
dump on the chest.
Right on the crest, you mean.
Yes. Yeah. Right between the shoulders. Whoopsie-daisy.
He said in interviews, it's not his, like, he doesn't know what he's going to do when he goes in on a breakaway in a game. No, the shootout, he thinks about it.
Yeah. Right. In a breakaway, you're in the pace of the game and you're not thinking. I mean, listen, I don't know anything about hockey, but it translates to other sports too. I mean, it's all instinct. And then when you're going into a shootout situation, you have to kind of think, I would imagine, here's what I'm going to do and goalie tendencies and that. I hate them.
Yeah.
I really hate them.
Do you ever see a guy? I know there's a few guys that are stellar at shootouts. I get it. But do you ever see a guy in a game going on a breakaway and then slow down from a level, we'll call it a Mach 5, to a level 2 or a 1, and they slow down and they, no, because you can't. And that's why maybe some of the younger generation, I'd be curious to see this. We had a little bit of fun, and now I'm 50, so I'm in a different generation. We would do shootouts at the end just for fun or whatever. No, these guys that are 20 to 30, they practice shootouts all the time.
Well, did you see that?
Because they grew up with it part of being in the NHL.
A few games ago, there was a shootout, and it might have been, did they have a shootout with the Capitals? I can't remember. And the kid that scored made it look like he lost the puck.
That's a new Deke move the Kucherov. He did it two years ago where he comes in, he swoops a little wide. It looks like he's going to stick handle, and as he drops his shoulder and he stick handles, he lets the puck slide he's a lefty to his right while he goes to his left.
Right.
Oh, and the goalie's like, whoa.
And then that's not something you're doing in a game, I would imagine.
Where's Kasper's balls to do that in a game?
Where's Kasper's Dogovins when you need him?
One of the best shootout moves I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's right. Bruins don't have a dog in the game.
They do not. Yeah.
All right. But listen, they needed that win last night.
They have
to translate it to a victory on Thursday against a tough Winnipeg team that is actually playing tonight in Toronto. So hopefully the Bruins can I don't know if it's an advantage or not, but hopefully take advantage of it. Nice to see them win for the moms. The moms had a good time.
They you didn't were, show them enough last night, Billy. I didn't know they were there.
They were bedazzled. Did you notice they're bedazzled?
But I mean, no. I mean, I only found out in the third period they actually had made the trip.
How novel!
I didn't see any pictures. Didn't see any video. Yeah.
How novel!
No interviews.
Having some multimillionaires. I mean, some of them actually really are not, but some multimillionaires being able to fly their parents to a game in Nashville. That's
yeah.
No, I know the moms
team,
come.
I
in.
Know the team did that, Dan. Everyone thinks I'm so dumb. I mean, I'm a dumb
wasn't
person.
Insinuating that you were dumb, Fred. I just,
I know it was the multimillionaires.
Just a big surprise, Billy. Dayton Heinen scored, and there's his mom up in the box.
My point was,
Jesus Wallach, you are a bitter man since you came back from your operation.
My point was,
you would be too. Look at these ladies with their full hearing.
They don't have tumors.
All right. Okay.
They don't have a formaldehyde jar with a tumor in it.
How dare you show people happy at a game one
okay.
time?
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right, Rich. Gloves are off.
I thought it was Joe Murray that was always mad about the Bruins.
So two things happened today. One, everyone thought that I believe that you could run past the line of scrimmage and throw.
It sounded like you said
in
that.
In an NFL game.
No,
yes.
No, yeah. Because I'm 40. Sure. I'm 44, never seen a game. Never played the game.
Yes.
You're only 44?
Shut up. I turned 45 on January 16th.
In case anyone wants to send a game.
I'm wondering if I should dye the beard.
Don't.
Dude, no.
It's going to backfire.
No,
the Lou Albano is never good.
That is, as they say, fraught with peril.
Yeah,
don't,
I
do
did
not
that
do
years
that.
And years ago one time, and it's don't.
Man.
He's thinking
he's
about
it. He's doing it
so
anyway.
What was the other thing you learned? What was the other thing?
Well, just now that they've flown the parents in, my point was how novel to have your parents at a game when they could fly into any game is what my point was. It wasn't even that big a point. But then Dan said in my ear the team flew them in, and I'm like, I know. It's on the front page of the paper. It's very exciting.
Well, I'm into all the games. They obviously play well in front of their moms.
That's what it's going
to
take, yes.
Yes.
A mom's trip, a brother's trip, sister's trip, dad's trip.
Yeah, I'm much younger than Jaffe.
You are.
Yeah.
You are much younger.
Yeah, and you'd think that I would die first, but I don't see that happening.
Probably not.
No,
you're going to be one of those guys that's like 92, even more of a curmudgeon, but yet you've done everything to your body. You're going to last that long. I'm lucky. Hopefully.
What have I done to my body except for be fat?
That's a great shirt.
That is a great shirt.
Listen, all I know is I ain't diabetic, and I ain't taking cholesterol medicine, nor do I have high blood pressure. So, listen, my liver has got a little high enzymes, but you can't win them all.
Right.
All right, so we'll be back, Rich, with thank you, Billy Jaffe. Good from Nesson for coming in. Rich, what do we have coming up?
It looks like there might be a major broadcaster trying to poach one of the biggest names in broadcasting to bring them over. We will talk about that. And I had to text Wallach yesterday. One of the coolest things is out in the market for you to buy. And I'm telling you, I've already written down, this is my birthday present to myself. I'm getting one of these.
All right. So we will have all that for you. Here are the headlines.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, ESPN's Monday Night Football broadcast isn't great, and they know it. It's not awful like it was when you had Sleepy McJoe, John's favorite guy.
Sean McDonough. And John Gruden.
That was so uncomfortably bad. Yeah, Sean McDonough just not made for that, and I know people love him on the radio side of things, and that's great, fine. But with Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland, Joe Tessitore, I had no problem with until somebody told me that he sounds exactly like Sarge, and now he is Sarge. Matter of fact, I wouldn't mind it if maybe tomorrow, Mike, you could just kind of put their voices side by side, and I'm talking like regular talking Sarge and Joe Tessitore. I mean, it is Sarge's voice. And Booger McFarland, you know, whatever. There was a meme going around of him saying completely obvious things. But ESPN says, we got to do something to this telecast. And what better way to make a splash than trying to steal right now, who seems to be the hottest name in broadcasting, Tony Romo from CBS.
Now, his how can you take him away from Nance?
Well, I mean, I like their – you had legitimate points last year with
Jim Nance stuff is such a pro.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Jim Nance.
He's got a little golf hole in his backyard. He's got it all.
He's got ties to give away.
Yeah, he gave away $500 million to his ex-wife.
You see, Jim Nance the person, I don't like that much. Jim Nance the broadcaster, I don't have a problem with.
I despise him.
When he's doing a game?
Yep.
See, Nance doesn't bother me when he's doing a game.
I'm with Rich on that one.
The whole thing with the tongue.
Broadcaster, he's good person. Okay. That's
fine. You can like him. I despise him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like him doing golf, do you?
Oh, I don't. No. Football's different.
He's made for the Masters, my friend.
See, I'm with
Hushed
you,
Hush tones.
Yeah, the golf, I don't like him doing golf.
Referential tones.
He acts like he's in church.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. I'm not a fan of most golf
exactly
broadcast
what
teams.
The Masters wants. You think anybody they get to replace him is going to be any different? Anybody who broadcasts that tournament has to treat it that way.
Tirico doesn't act like he's on holy ground. Jim Nance is ridiculous.
If Tirico had to do Nance's job, it would be different.
Tirico would be better at it.
Jim Nance, do you like him doing the Final Four?
No, with the tie, giving the tie to somebody.
No, and the way he broadcast the Final Four.
You know, I don't mind him when he's doing a tournament. As I said, it's the stuff, the tie thing's stupid. It's anything outside
of the
actual broadcast.
I rarely pay attention to the broadcasters at all. It just, Nance drives me insane. You can tell, like, because I watch Lions games when there's, like, the E-list people out there. Because the Lions always get, like, the worst. but for the most part, I don't pay any attention to what they're saying.
Well, with Tony Romo, there's a couple different reasons why it might be enticing. First of all, Romo wants to be the highest paid broadcaster when it comes to these football play-by-play TV and
color. I do, too.
Yeah, but he is somebody who was offered an extension from CBS. He said, not enough, and now he's going to be a free agent after this year. Hmm. What they are saying, this is according to the New York Post, they're reporting that ESPN is ready to make an offer of up to 6 years and more than $10 million a year. Oh. And on top of that, the Monday scheduling would allow him to play in PGA tournaments without missing any games. Romo rules in these games.
He's just missed qualifying for the U.S. Open this past year.
So, I mean, I think that's a wise move by ESPN. Solve your problem that you've had ever since Tirico and Gruden were done. And get a broadcasting team that you actually look forward to hearing.
6 years at $10 million a year? That's like Kyle Van Noy money. Jesus.
I know.
Excellent point.
The boogeyman.
It's boogeyman money. So, I mean, I could see them trying to make the move, but CBS is ultimately going to pay him. They're not going to let him walk away. I mean, he's become a star.
They'll match it. I agree.
They will match it. And yesterday, I texted John Wallach something. So, there's a company that has started making arcade cabinets, classic arcade cabinets. If you would, like, let's say you wanted to go out and buy a Golden Tee machine, or you wanted to buy a Pac-Man machine, like an old retro one, it would cost you about $3,000. Well, this company called Arcade One Up, what they've done is they've gotten the license from all of these places like Midway and the people who made these old arcade games, and they've made cabinets that are three-quarter size. You can't really tell that they're much smaller when you just look at them, especially when they're not compared to a regular one. And they've made them anywhere between $200 and I think one of the more expensive ones is like $400. And they've got a couple different ones. At home, John, you said you got the Pac-Man one.
I got the Pac-Man machine, yeah.
All right, I've got Street Fighter 2, and I just got the new Marvel one with the Marvel superheroes. Mm-hmm. And they run great, and everything works awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, they just announced yesterday that they just got the rights to NBA Jam. And I think within the next 2 months, they are going to start selling NBA Jam. And the best thing about it is it's four-player, just like the one in the arcade.
Yeah.
It looks exactly like it. And on top of that, they're making it so you can use an internet connection to play other people online who have the Arcade 1-Up NBA Jam as well. That's the one game. As a matter of fact, I always said if I had like just something stupid that I could buy that costs like too much, then whatever, I would love a real stand-up NBA Jam machine. But my God, if it's going to save me, you know, $2,600, then I will take the $300 to $400 version of it. Although, usually they're not that much. They're right around $300. I think your Pac-Man one was probably like, what, $250?
It was given to me as a gift. Yeah, I don't know how much.
Street Fighter's like $200. And I think the Marvel one I paid for was like $300.
I thought you were going to say there was a new Blackstone Magic set.
Ooh, now we're talking.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be a classic Blackstone Magic set.
There's always room for magic.
Look at this. My cane turns into a bird.
Yeah, so there was.
Wait, they're not the originals.
By the way, at this expo that they're doing right now, I think it's the one, the CES out in Las Vegas, Clyde Drexler is signing stuff for people as they come
by. Also Hall of Famer, one of the 50 greatest players in the history of the NBA.
Dude, that expo is like crazy.
It's
like,
got all the porn people there.
That's the AVN Award.
No. CES has got all the porn people.
Do they hire them to be like models so people will come by?
No, because of all the digital. The web-based porn.
Okay.
It's a huge porn extravaganza.
I happened to be in Vegas the same weekend of the AVN Awards.
Ah.
And it was just like, I mean, you know, the airport, it was everywhere. But I wasn't staying anywhere near it.
Even so, it would have been lost on you, I think.
Well, I mean,
well, that's what
it's Dan like you
just
don't
said. Did you walk around with blinders on?
I mean, it's essentially Vegas anyway. I mean, that's the thing, is that they kind of fit in.
But all the, like, the porn chicks that are at the AVN Awards, like, I don't even, like, know who they are.
It's a young woman's game now, Fred.
I'm still going. I'm still going, like, late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who these new bucks are.
Right,
with all their tattoos and everything else.
Right.
Well, I don't care for it.
Well, there is going to be a new documentary on Netflix. It's a three-part series.
Looks good.
That involves Aaron Hernandez, and it truly looks like they just went over the blueprint that the Boston Globe did when they did their Spotlight series, because it talks about even the CTE and it has like stuff about his family and growing up. But here's just a clip from the trailer.
How can an individual who has everything get involved in something like this?
I was the happiest little kid in the world, and you fucked me up.
I ain't living with that.
You did. I had nobody. What do you think I was gonna do? Become a perfect angel?
Aaron was extremely terrified of his father.
Violent outbursts were not uncommon in the Hernandez home.
Aaron had a history of concussion-related injuries.
At the drop of a hat, he became angry and violent.
He had everything and threw it all away.
We had to hide what we were.
The most exciting thing there, not exciting, but the one thing that seems the most interesting is that they have jailhouse phone calls between like him and his mother, and who knows what else they. And it sounds like
it's the guy from Making a Murderer, by the way, is the guy that did this one.
Yeah.
So it's which I never saw, but
and the other thing really that you might find out too is they talk to the guy where, you know,
was he secretly gay?
Dr. Phil.
I have one question. Was he secretly gay? Now, after his death, it was reported that he was gay. And you were his fiance. Was he secretly gay?
I don't know, man. You're in jail for the rest of your life.
Just, you're looking for
I'm going to have sex with a guy. I mean, if you say that you're in jail for the rest of your life and there's no chance of getting out, like what are you going to do?
All right, I'll wear the mop.
Well, no, I don't want to be constantly put in that position. But I mean, like, seriously, like, after 10 years, like, what are you going to do? Like, I'm not doing that. Yeah, I mean, maybe you are. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Ridge.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
Zo!
What's up?
Welcome back.
Hey. Good morning.
Damn good to have you back.
Wow. This is like a new place. Walk's mom over there.
See
a new stadium we're building, like a Death Star.
Now he can't hear me when I'm plowing her.
Take her down, get her one of the buffets down at the MGM.
This must have been a weird couple of days for you to not be in front of a microphone.
Oh, it's crazy. Thank God Hardy responded to somebody yesterday. And, of course, I was getting a ton of texts. And
we're glad it was obviously, you know, that, you know, you're back.
And, yeah, I'll address it real quick at the top of our show. But, sure. Like, oh, you Sissy, you don't want to talk about the Pats. No.
Yeah, that's
no,
exactly.
No,
yeah.
People thought you were too scared. No, you're too pissed. Crushed. Yeah, I'm pissed. I'm still pissed. Everybody's
that's,
angry.
That's a rational thing to think.
Everybody's angry.
Yeah. I didn't want to talk about Brady, so I left.
Yeah, that doesn't move the needle at all, like a loss or any controversy. Like Gary Tangway would say controversy.
Well, I love what you said is that even when you were out of town, like, I mean, this is nationally the biggest story, and it's going to be the biggest story of the offseason.
It's amazing. I mean,
bigger than the playoffs.
You pick up a Miami Herald, the Palm Beach Post, it's front page, Brady. Do you want Brady to be a Dolphin? Should they go get Brady?
They should because they're going to turn things around in 2 years.
They should have hired an offense coordinator then. Because he ain't going to play for Chant Gailey.
I'm joking. I mean, if I'm the Dolphins, what am
I going
to
do? They know they're not getting
it. What, am I going to go 8-8 with them?
Yep, so we're back. Burt Breer, 2 hours today.
All right.
We're doing a lot of football. Get caught up.
There you go. You got Zolak, his take on everything that's going on. That'll do it for us.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.